Take part in a transformation of pharmacy practice. Pharmacy Futures is ASHP's dynamic new summer event where you will unite with clinicians, practice leaders, preceptors, and technicians to explore the impactful integration of artificial intelligence in pharmacy practice and healthcare. Over 57 hours of contemporary education will be offered, including a special workshop for sterile compounding designated person competency training. Special rates are available when you register and book your hotel before April 26th. Learn more at futures.ashp.org. That's futures.ashp.org.
Welcome to the ASHP Official Podcast, your guide to issues related to medication use, public health, and the profession of pharmacy.
Thank you for joining us for the Pharmacy Leadership Podcast. Our discussion for this podcast series focuses on leadership topics, but in pharmacy practice, including the business of pharmacy, development of leadership skills and career transitions, and more. My name is Anne Nguyen, and I'm a pharmacy manager at Houston Methodist West Hospital in Houston, Texas. I will be your host today for the Pharmacy Leadership Podcast. With me today is Dr. Bhavik Shah, Associate Professor at Jefferson College of Pharmacy in Philadelphia. Thanks for joining us today, Bhavik. Let's start talking about today's topic on personal finance, and it is one of the three series on financial literacy. Just a full disclaimer, neither myself or Bhavik are licensed or certified accountants, financial planners, or attorneys. Please do your due diligence, such as consulting with your own financial advisor before making any financial decisions. This podcast is intentional for educational purposes only. With that, we'll go ahead and get started. So, Bhavik, talk to me a little bit more. How did you become interested in personal finance and personal financial education?
Sure. Thanks, Anne, for having me here today. Growing up, I did not have any sort of formal financial education through high school or college. And my parents, we were an immigrant family, and growing up, they didn't necessarily have the means to invest and teach me about, like, you know, different investment vehicles and stocks and bonds and things. So, you know, I was sort of on my own. And when I graduated, I bought unnecessary insurance policies from an insurance salesman who was masquerading as a financial advisor. I also made some other mistakes too. I made mistakes with my student loan repayment plan. And I started using an accountant to do my taxes when my wife and I got married. And, you know, that sort of started my journey because, you know, he got me interested in how to lower my taxes, and we discussed strategies to do that. But as I was learning more, I learned that sometimes my accountant has made mistakes and I was able to catch them. And so that really sort of showed me that, you know, you can outsource and you can hire professionals as much as you want. And, you know, there are going to be times that should be necessary. But, you know, no one's going to care about your own finances more than yourself and your partner if you have one. And so that's really started my journey. And now over the past several years, I've educated myself as much as I could. And it's something that I'm passionate about. And I've extended it into academia. So I also now have an elective for third-year pharmacy students on personal finance.
That's great. Yeah, I can definitely relate to your journey. Growing up, for me, my parents really didn't know much about financial literacy. From blue-collar family, my dad's always kind of telling me, like, go to school, get a good job, and make sure you stay at your job and be good at what you do. And the job is basically your security. And I think that's true. But there are definitely things that they came here when they were in their 40s and they didn't really know English. So they didn't really know the ways on student loan. And one thing my dad would tell me, like, borrow as much as you can because it's free money. And I'm like, no, daddy, it's not free money. You have to pay it back with interest. So I would say I'm also a self-learner and self-starter in terms of that financial aspect too. And I wish I've known this in college or even like in pharmacy school, right? But I think for me, my journey really started in 2015 after I finished my PGY2 residency and realized that I make some what I would call also money mistakes throughout the way. I didn't have a car throughout pharmacy school and residency. So the first thing I got was not a Toyota, but a BMW, because I felt like I deserved it, right? After receiving a six-figure salary. And that was my mistake number one. Looking back, I'm like, I could have done something differently. So that was kind of my wake up moment, like, wow. Because when I realized that 2 years after I sold it, and it was depreciating like 50%. So that was my number one. And then I think I found Dave Ramsey University course, and I really enjoyed that. And that kind of started with my husband, who's also very interested in financial freedom. So we would say, honestly, for us, our journey started in 2016, 2017, when we start to talk about big purchases and financial freedom and making smarter financial decisions. So with that, can you kind of tell me a little bit more, what resources do you use to start out? And for those listening, right, there's a variety of individuals. They could be student, resident who just starting off versus who are seasoned into their career. So what are some resources, general resources you would recommend?
Yeah, I think it's good to know what resources are out there. And there's some really good ones that I've sort of, you know, stumbled across and found throughout the years, because I really started getting into this in 2016, I would say. That was my first year, that 2015, 2016, so around the same time as you. And so there's a number of resources, and I would say to folks, you know, just start somewhere, because it's sort of like, you know, how pharmacists, we have to get CE credits every 2 years to renew our licenses. It's sort of the same mindset that I've adopted, where I'm just continuously sort of doing financial self-education. And so some of the resources that I find really useful, my top two, I would say, is the first one that I stumbled across was White Coat Investor. This is by a physician, Dr. Jim Dolly. He's an emergency medicine physician out in Salt Lake City, Utah. And he has a blog and podcast series, et cetera. And his primary audience is high income, high debt individuals related to student loans, so primarily to physicians. But if you read his blogs, he also includes pharmacists, nursing, accounting, lawyers, anyone who might benefit from that. So he's the first one that I came across, and I find his level of blog posts and resources runs the gamut from like introductory to intermediate and advanced. So there's something for everyone. The other resource that I like is a YouTube channel called The Money Guys. It is run by two certified financial planners who are also CPAs. And so they give really good advice, really good tips of like just general information. And so that's really increased my knowledge of like what different types of accountants are available, different types of vehicles, the tax implications. So I listen to these two podcasts or these resources regularly. But there's some other ones too that the audience might find useful. There's Your Financial Pharmacist. It's another resource that's run by two pharmacists and a certified financial planner. And it's on the same level as White Coat Investor in the sense that it's targeted towards a very niche audience. And Your Financial Pharmacist has the same sort of topics like student loan repayment, saving for retirement, saving, investing, those just general sort of resources. And so it's a good place to start. I think it's probably a better introductory level compared to the White Coat Investor. But I find myself graduating out of Your Financial Pharmacist quickly. And so I use White Coat primarily. Other just general websites that are good just for like, you know, if you want to know what just general information, NerdWallet is a great resource. So is Bankrate. If you're looking into like different like bank accounts, mortgages, you know, any sort of explanations related to that.
Yeah, and I can definitely relate to White Coat Investor. That's one of the resources I go to as well. And he has a very good blog on backdoor Roth conversions. And yeah, like I said, it's intro all the way to very advanced. Some other resources that I have gone through as well is Dave Ramsey course. He has like a 7 baby steps. And I think that's very good for intro for those that really want to get to know what do I need to do? At which point do I do this? It's very prescriptive. And it is a pay version that you can do. And I really enjoyed that when I stumbled on it. And I feel like it's very laid out very well. Like baby step one is, you know, saving $1,000 for emergency fund and then kind of go into all the way to wealth building. There's certain philosophy that you may or may not agree with Dave, but I think just for those who really don't know where to go, this is a good starting point. just to get you started. And then, of course, as you graduate from a more intro into more advanced, you can get into other advanced. The other one that I really enjoy is Ramit Sethi. He actually wrote a book on basically teach you to be rich in 6 weeks. And he really, that book is gearing towards more in your 20s, 30s, truthfully. And then this book, Baker Study Dozen, in terms of financial principles, it's just recently published. And he is actually not a pharmacist. He's a financial professional, but he's been teaching for years at the University of Arkansas on financial principles. So I think those three resources are what I would say the general information I would get folks to go to. The other one where if you don't want to spend money on books and course is if you look up William Bernstein, he wrote a 16-page PDF that is free. And it's If You Can by William Bernstein. And it's a lot. It's only 16 pages, but it will take you a while to go through because you make recommendations on books to read, what you need to do. So it may take you months to years, depending where you are, to get you through that. So those are, I would say, general resources and just getting you to get into that financial mindset. So can you tell me a little bit more about investing resources for those who want to go a little bit more advanced on investing resources that you would recommend?
Yeah, so there's a few that I came across. I follow the Bogglehead philosophy. So the founder of Vanguard of simple investing where you buy index funds and you sort of buy and hold for the length of your investing career. And so that's a really good book that's available on Amazon. Another one that is another powerful book that gives you really sound investing advice and sort of, emphasizing simplicity is by J.L. Collins, The Simple Path to Wealth. I found his philosophical approach to investing, and it's very data-driven too, that it's sort of what's the best way to invest for simplicity and for the long term without getting too overly complicated. And so it's very approachable. So these are the two resources that I use in addition to the White Coat and the other ones that I mentioned earlier. A lot of times, I came across Boggleheads and Simple Path to Wealth because, I saw them being referenced from multiple resources that they were saying, oh, point to this. And so all roads kind of led to some of these books. So that's what made me investigate them myself.
Awesome. And yeah, I would say some of the resources I mentioned already, I think the book Baker's Study Dozen to Financial Health, I think that book really lay out basic principles, but also have information on investing. Ramit Sethi, I mentioned, is more, again, start out with general, but then he gives you very specific benchmark and even teaching points on investing. He's really big into automatic investing. And then the other one I really enjoy as well is not necessary investing resources per se specifically, but Rich Dad Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki. He's more into real estate, which we'll talk a little bit more, but he really talks about the principle of investing and also long-term wealth. So it kind of gives you he doesn't give you prescribed, you have to do the XYZ, but just overall mindset from an investing standpoint. So I really truly enjoy that book as well. So I know for those on the show or listening to the show may want to know about debt repayment and real estate. So what are some resources that you go towards or direct folks to in terms of debt repayment?
Yeah, so for debt repayment, you mentioned Dave Ramsey, and I think he's really good for those who have trouble or have very little financial literacy and find themselves in debt, whether it's consumer debt or student loans or mortgage debt. And I think he offers his baby steps as a very disciplined way of getting on track. Some of the other resources that I mentioned have specific debt repayment strategies, depending on whether it's student loans versus credit card debt versus, other types of debt. So I think it depends on that. So, it's out there. So that's why the general resources that we discussed earlier, I think are really good because I think there's something there for everyone. For real estate, yeah, I think this is something that, you and I share about. So this is something that my wife and I, we've expanded our approach to saving and investing for our future and for our retirement. And we recently started including real estate into it. And so there's a lot of good resources available that sort of showed me the benefits of real estate investing and like the tax implications and the tax benefits. And so we purchased a rental property a couple of years ago, 2 years ago. And, you know, our strategy is going to be buy and hold. And, you know, we may expand the number of units that we have. But, you know, what really sort of got me down on this path of sort of like diversifying our different types of investment, because we obviously have a 401k, 403b, like, you know, stocks, bonds, all that kind of stuff. But we wanted to sort of include some other things. And so what sort of showed me the benefits of real estate were me, Kevin, he's a YouTuber, and Graham Stephan, he's another YouTuber. They're both real estate individuals who achieved financial independence through real estate. And some of their introductory videos were targeted of why real estate it might be a good idea, how to get into it, what are the benefits, what are some of the pitfalls, and how you can avoid them. So I really appreciated that. Another YouTube channel that I really like is Minority Mindset. He's another individual who invests in real estate. He's a lawyer by training, but he goes through, he has several properties, and he sort of discusses the benefits and how he goes about it. And so each of these channels offer something different. And so I just use it to sort of like listen and see what they offer. And then, you know, I'll do my own research afterwards to look more into it. But I found these individuals who are like sort of like living the mantra, like they're either real estate agents or lawyers who are doing, and they're showing and walking you through their numbers and their properties and like the benefits. It sort of piqued my interest.
Yeah, I think YouTube channel has a lot to offer. And full disclosure, I also have a YouTube channel too. It's called Mindset of Money. And I think that's where I start to share folks about career leadership mindset, but also just financial literacy, because I felt so passionate about sharing more. And I wish people have, or someone had taught me much earlier than when I discovered about financial literacy. So that's kind of the reason why I started that channel. I think in addition to YouTube in general, because it's a lot of vast content, another forum / a very robust internet website, they have all sort of things. It's called Bigger Pockets. Essentially, it's targeting individuals, real estate, intro all the way to experience on investing to real estate. They have, of course, subscription plan, but there is a basic plan. That's what I'm on. And it really shows you and connects you with individuals who are like-minded, who are going on the same track of financial literacy and investing in real estate. And just so everybody knows, Bhavik and I, we don't get an endorsement from any of these individuals. So we're just sharing really our thoughts and the resources that we use candidly to kind of share with you. So you pick and choose what's best for you. Similar to your journey, right? Like we actually also started getting our first, we have our first house back in 2017. And actually in April, we closed on our first rental property. So super excited about that. And one strategy that I use from kind of a knowledge I acquire is that I go 50-50 in with my brother. So we both kind of hit it half and half. You know, there's a saying, 50% of something is better, 100% of nothing. So that's kind of the mindset that we want to build up our equity slowly. And of course, when we have enough money saved up for another down payment, we'll go like full 100%. My brother has several properties already. So just basically the learning from him, it's also really good. So that's kind of a strategy I'm using. And Bigger Pockets, for those who are interested in podcasts as well, they have a very robust, different number of podcasts from Real Estate Rookie, where individuals have one or two or five properties, to like a very experienced podcast where individuals are millionaires or more and sharing their experience and journey. They have one on financial literacy as well, or for business. So check them out. It's called Bigger Pockets. I really, truly enjoy them. So with that, I want to close this out with our last question. So for those who are interested in like, wow, it's overwhelming with all these resources that we're sharing. So what are some things you would recommend on where's the first place to start?
Yeah, I would start with one of the general resources and sort of try to understand some of the nomenclature. But, you know, in my elective, the first set of assignments that I have with my students is, you know, the very first thing, the cornerstone of any personal finance journey is keeping and tracking a budget. So you know where your money is going and where is it coming from. because, you know, the, you know, you generally want to live below your means, and that way you're able to, whatever you're spending less than what you're earning, then you could use that difference to build wealth. And so when you have that, then I encourage my students to sort of create a financial plan. And this is something I wish I had done when I was in my mid-20s, to sit down and sort of like be very deliberate as to what I want to do. And so creating a financial plan for, you know, what is your plan for debt repayment? So I had student loans. What was my plan for that? Buying and saving for a down payment on a house. What is my plan for investing? What is going to be my investing plan? And so, you know, I'm going to use my employer 403B. How much percentage of it can I contribute of my salary? It's just sitting down and just putting it, you know, pen to paper and figuring out what your short-term, mid-term, and long-term goals are, and creating what are known as like SMART goals. So like specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-specific. And that way you can sort of make sure that you're on track. And so this is something that we have done now, my wife and I. So like we have a financial plan now, especially, you know, after getting married and having a child, and we may have more children in the future. You know, now we have to include in our financial plan, our plan for my son's future education. So like, you know, saving for his college. And so, you know, we've all incorporated that into our plan. So I think that's the first place I would start, is, you know, figuring out what your priorities are and creating a plan with SMART goals that are, you know, right for you and your partner if you have one. And so just so that way you could keep yourself accountable. And, you know, your plan can change. You know, you're not like locked in, because, you know, as life changes, your plan should change. But it's something that, you know, I evaluate every year with my wife and I. You know, how are we keeping track? How are we progressing towards our goals? Are we ahead of schedule? Are we behind schedule? And it sort of gives us a good sort of roadmap of where we are.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I think one thing I will also add is, regardless where you are, if you're in, you're single or in a relationship or married, right? So I think it's really important to talk. If you're in a relationship, talk to your partner and make sure you guys are on the same financial plan, because financial issues can cause marital disruption. So I think that's important, or even like relationship to start out. So, and of course, if you're single, just start considering the individuals you're marrying or dating. Are they on the same page financially with you? Because you can create your goal, but if they are not on the same goal as you are, then that creates some friction. I think another part of it too is that I know we recommend a lot of resources in this podcast. I would recommend, for as many of you guys are pharmacists or pharmacy students who are listening to this, Joe Baker's Dirty Dozen Principles for Financial Independence may be a good start to let you get started on those various aspects. And they, in the book, he also talked about SMART goals. The other book I'll recommend is Ramit Sethi. Like I said, he also laid out very good for non-healthcare professional or high-income earners, right? Like, he's just more of a general. So either way, just start with those two books. Or again, if you want to free resources, look up, if you can, by Will and Burstein, just to start out. And overall, having a SMART, like having a goal, if any, is better than none. One thing that my husband and I do every year around January or February is that we sit down, review, I call it family strategic planning. We look at our financial goals, but also like our community service, our trips, our volunteer, just kind of incorporate all that as a year plan. You may not reach all of it, but at least you have a plan. You look at it every day, and you start thinking about, like, one of our big goals is to pay off our mortgage by 2022. So that's an aggressive goal. So it just helps us to stay on track and keep us honest and true to our budget. And trust us, we sometimes deviate from our budget, but at least you have one, so you know how much money you're spending on food or whatever else that you splurge on. So I think that's really important. So with that, truly appreciate you guys being here. So that's really all the time we have today. I want to thank Dr. Babeek Shah for joining us today to discuss Investing Yourself, Raising Personal Financial Literacy, Part 1. Stay tuned for our next episode. We'll have a total of 3 episodes for this financial literacy. So join us here on Tuesdays, where we will talk with ASHP members about leadership topics and within pharmacy practice. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to ASHP Official, the voice of pharmacists advancing healthcare. Be sure to visit ashp.org/podcast to discover more great episodes, access show notes, and download the episode transcript. If you loved the episode and want to hear more, be sure to subscribe, rate, or leave a review. Join us next time on ASHP Official.